The students of the Baal Shem Tov, they once asked him a question. They said, "We know you taught us, Rebbe, that all of the character traits that we have, the bad character traits, could be used for good. You taught us that kin'ah, that jealousy could be used for good. You could have kin'at sofrim, you could desire people's good deeds and try to be like them. You taught us that ga'ava is good as well. Ga'ava could be used in the service of Hashem, vayigbal libo bedarkei Hashem. And even desire, you taught us, could be channeled for good. But what about the midah of kifira, the midah of denial of God? How could that be good?" So he told them that, "My students, is when somebody else is in a time of pain, when somebody else is going through something, you're not supposed to go to them and tell them, 'Have emunah, it's okay, have emunah.' He says that you are supposed to go to them and you're supposed to give them sympathy and compassion. The person who it happened to has to work on their emunah. But it's your job to give them sympathy. However, in this case, it's really a reversal of roles. As I was talking to Mrs. Kishik the other night, it seems like the Kishik family is giving us chizuk, they are giving us sympathy, and we are the ones who need to work on our emunah. And in truth, I probably should give a class today on sympathy, but as Mrs. Kishik asked me, she says, 'I want you to talk about emunah. I want everybody else to know about emunah like I know about it.' And therefore, that's going to be our topic for today. I sit here in trepidation. I'm not one to give musar on such a topic. I am not capable. All I'm going to do is read for you some words that I read, that I heard. And Be'ezrat Hashem, Hashem will give me the proper words to say, to give us chizuk together. Amen. Amen. I just want to start off by saying I already had some siyata dishmaya yesterday. And when a little miracle happens, you're supposed to say it publicly. So Mrs. Kishik asked me, she said, "I got so much chizuk from the CDs. I wanted you to say some things over from the CDs that could perhaps give us chizuk." So I said, "I don't remember exactly." I was thinking to myself, "I don't remember exactly what I said on which CD." Yesterday I had time to listen to two CDs. Maybe I can get something to say, to look for the proper words. So I put in one CD and I heard the entire thing. And nothing clicked. Nothing clicked for the occasion. So I said, "Okay, I have one more chance." I put in the second CD. And after going around for 20 seconds, the CD says, "Error. Error, it doesn't work." I took it out, I blew on it, I put it back in. Again, it said, "Error. Doesn't work." I said, "Okay, I'll try the third one." I put in the third CD. The same exact thing. After 20 seconds going around, "Error." I take it out, blow on it, put it again. "Error." I said, "Okay, I'll try the fourth one." I put in the fourth CD, and this time it worked. And this time there were some words there that were said that were perfect, apropos for this occasion. And I said to myself, "Let me see now if those other CDs are really broken or not." I listened to the entire thing, and I put back CD number two, and it was working fine. And I put back CD number three and it was working fine. And this was a direct Yad Hashem guiding me in order that we should be able to know what to say. I am reminded, after witnessing such a response from the Kishik family, I am reminded of how the greats of all time, accepted such things from Hashem. When Aharon HaKohen, his two beautiful children were taken suddenly, the Pasuk says about Aharon, Vayidom Aharon, and Aharon was silent. And the Midrash on that Pasuk says that Iyov, when Iyov heard about this tragedy, he said, my heart jumps and trembles at this. Because when the stick of Aharon went into the Kodesh Kodashim, miracles occurred. The stick blossomed. Beautiful things happened. When Titus Harasha went into Kodesh Kodashim to destroy the temple and he stabbed the parochet, he came out unscathed. Nothing happened to him. And now, Aharon's two beautiful children enter Kodesh Kodashim to do something good. They came in to be Maktir Ketoret. They tried to do something good and Hashem takes their life. And Iyov said, my heart jumps at such an occasion. How could it be? How could it be that Hashem would do such a thing? And I heard from Rabbi Waxman, he said, why does Iyov ask this question? Who was Iyov? Iyov asked the question and Aharon didn't. Who was Iyov? He said Iyov was one of the three advisors to Paro. And Paro, when he was deciding whether or not to subjugate the Jewish people, give them affliction and hurt them, so he said, that's going to be our plan. Bil'am Harasha, Bil'am, he said, go along with it, Paro, it's a great idea. Yitro ran away. And Iyov who was there was shatak. Iyov was quiet. He was silenced. And Hashem said, regarding Bil'am, because you wanted to do this, you will die by the sword. When it comes to Yitro for running away was going to be rewarded. But Iyov, because he was quiet, when he shouldn't have been quiet, now he's going to suffer Yisurin. Yitro was quiet when he should have talked. But when it came time to accept Yisurin, Iyov started to talk. Then he started to ask questions. Aharon HaKohen, on the other hand, who was Aharon? Aharon was the Midaber of Klal Yisrael. Aharon Achicha Yehiyeh Nevi'echa. Aharon was the spokesman. All Aharon knew how to talk. Aharon had what to say. When there was problems in the home with Shalom Bayit, who was there to take care of it? Aharon. Aharon went and he patched up the situation. He told the husband what needed to be said. He told the wife what needed to be said. But yet, when something happened in his own life, Vayidom Aharon. Aharon was quiet. Aharon was silenced. We are from the generation of Iyov. We sometimes were quiet when we're not supposed to be quiet, but we ask questions also when we're not supposed to ask questions. Our generation is a generation of questions. The Pasuk says, Ve'amar Hadora Aharon. And the final generation is going to say, and then it says after, Ve'amiru, they're going to say, Alma hasa Hashem kacha la'aretz hazot. What is Hashem doing to this land? What is Hashem doing to us? And the Brisker Rav asked, there's a redundancy. It says Ve'amar, and then it says Ve'amiru, Ve'amar. Why two times Ve'amar? They're going to say it. Why does it say it twice? See, he says, because the Ve'amar itself is a chidush. Who asks such questions? Who asks questions? Why? Why does it happen? He said, only the Dor Aharon, only the final generation asks these questions. Because it wasn't the way of Jews from the previous generations to ask. They accepted with complete emunah. A man told the story of his grandmother. She was a simple woman who lost her husband, and she was crying bitterly. And she came back from the funeral, and her grandson overheard her talking to Hashem. And she was crying and crying, and she says, "Hashem, I am only crying because it hurts, not because I have any questions. I'm only human. It hurts. You're allowed to cry. We're allowed to cry because it hurts." But she says, "I know in my heart it's for the best." This was the simple emunah of the previous generation. The tests of our generation are very difficult. We are presented with a lot of questions. And people will ask, "Why is Hashem doing this?" Many will despair, and we cannot blame them. There is a statement from Hazal, "En Adam nitpas al sa'aro." A person is not held accountable for what they do in grief. People could ask, "Why me? Why this? Why that?" But we have to know that there is an ability in Olam Hazeh to accept, to be mekabel be'ahava, like Aharon HaKohen. Rabbi Waxman said over a story about his grandfather, Rabbi Avraham Klein, who was a rabbi in the city of Revitza in 1941. And a few weeks before Pesach, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, came in and they took 15,000 young children all away from their parents and they put them on the trains to Auschwitz. 2 weeks later, while they were baking the masot, the Nazis came back and they took another 16,000, all little girls this time. And the rabbi had to speak to his kahal, had to speak to his city on Shabbat HaGadol. And what could you possibly tell these people after they just went through this enormous suffering? What could you possibly tell them on Shabbat HaGadol? So the rabbi said as follows. The rabbi said, there's an argument in Masechet Pesachim on page Kuf Ted Zayin Amud Bet between the Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel. There's only one night of year that we say Hallel to Hashem. Pesach night is the only night of the year that you say Hallel. And there's an argument between Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel. Where do you say Hallel until? And the Bet Shammai say, until the words Em Habanim Semecha. Till the words that the mother of the children should be happy. And then you stop. And Bet Hillel says, no, you're wrong, Shammai. You say Hallel until the words Halamish Lemayin Omayim. And the rabbi said, what is the argument? He says, Bet Shammai says, a Jew is only obligated to praise God when the mother is happy with her children. Em Habanim Semeha. When all the children are home and the mother is there, she's obligated to say Hallel. And Bet Hillel says, no, Bet Shammai. We are obligated to say Hallel to Hashem, even if it seems so bad, like a halamish lemayin omayim. The situation is so hard that it could cause a dry rock to shed tears, a halamish to pour out tears. A Jew is still obligated to say Hallel and to praise Hashem. The pasuk says, "Imo anochi b'sara." Hashem says, "I am extra close when people are going through difficulties." If a child is in the hospital, the parents have to spend all their time there. But what's going to be with the children at home? Who's going to take care of them? The parents say they need a babysitter. We don't have time now. My child is in trouble. He needs my help. So too, Hashem says, when people are going through difficult times, Karov Adonai l'nishbere lev. Hashem is close to the brokenhearted. Rabbi Shalom Shwadron told a story of a Jew he knew who survived the Holocaust. Thank you. And the Jew told him, he said, Rabbi, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, they used to have a game. Their game was, they would strip us naked and make us jump into a barrel of acid and laugh at us while we burned our flesh. And he said, one day they took out me and seven of my friends. And they filled the barrel and they told each of us to jump in with bear skin. And then they would laugh. And he said, it was my turn next. He says, and I looked up to Hashem and I said, the Nazis have taken away my parents. They have taken away my wife. They have taken away my children. And now they have even taken away my clothing. And he said, Hashem, all I have left is the flesh on my body. And now, Hashem, it's just you and me. And he jumped in. And he told the rabbi, he said, I felt a pleasure that I never experienced before. I felt like the Shekhinah was one with me. He said, I couldn't describe the feeling, but my friends were yelling at me, get out, you're burning yourself. He says, but I couldn't bring myself to leave. I felt so close to Hashem. In the darkest of times, Hashem is the closest to us. The Be'er Mayim Hayim writes on the Pasuk, Imo Anochi Betzara. He says, Kavi Yachol, the Shekhinah is also in pain. When you are in pain, the Shekhinah is in pain. As the Gemara says, when a Jew is in an Etzara, what does the Shekhinah say? Kaleni beroshi, kaleni bizroi, my head is hurting, my arm is hurting. So he asks, so why has Hashem put himself through this pain? Hashem could take himself out of the pain. And he says it's because Hashem loves us so much and he knows that we need this so badly. He's willing to put himself in pain just to do what needs to be done for us to fulfill our tafkid in this world. Hashem is our loving Father. We cannot fathom the rahamim that He has for us. When someone has a difficulty and they have a heavy heart and they want to just stay in bed all day and they can't cope and they manage to uproot it and they manage to go on with their lives and they have this feeling that Hashem is my loving Father, the Orchot Tzadikim says they fulfill a mitzvat aser from the Torah. It says in the Pasuk, V'yadata im lebabecha, you have to know in your heart, Ki ka'asher yiyaser ish et beno. Just like a father sometimes has to chastise his son, so too Hashem Elokecha miyasereka, so too Hashem, our God, has to give us sometimes something that doesn't feel so good. But the love that Hashem has for us is a billion times greater than the love a parent has for his child. The Torah gives us a parable of the love of a parent to a child for us to understand, because that's all we could understand. But who gives a parent the ability to love their child? The ability comes from God. Hashem gives you the Rahmanut to give to your child. So the love that Hashem has for us is infinite. I was once talking to a woman who went through a near-death experience. And she said she had a miscarriage in her 8th month. And they were on the operating table, and it was a very difficult surgery, and she was losing a lot of blood. And it was going at an enormous rate, and the doctor said, we need a transfusion, an infusion of blood immediately, or lo aleinu. And they tried to get the intravenous, and her veins collapsed. And she said that she saw herself floating on top of the room, looking down at the scene. And she said, you cannot imagine. She says, I saw everybody in that room. I saw my husband. I saw the doctors. I saw the nurses. They were all frantic. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And she said, I was okay. I'm right here. I'm fine. I told him, fine. She says, but you can't believe the pity that I felt for them. I wanted a hug each, and I felt so bad for them. She said, and the love that I had for each person in that room was more equal to my husband. Didn't matter who it was. I loved all of them equally. And I told her, that's because you were spiritual, you were neshama, you're a piece of God. And that's how Hashem looks at all of us. He wants to hug everyone. He loves us. He says, I wish it could be different. I wish it could be different, but this is what we need. We don't understand. We ask, why did this have to happen? Why? The truth is, this was planned before the neshama even came down to this world. But Hashem, in His infinite kindness, He tries to prepare us sometimes. He gives us, because He loves us so much, He gives us the tools to cope. But this was already from before the birth. Everyone is allotted a certain amount of years. There are no such things as accidents. There's no such thing as regret. I should have. We could have. What if? What if we would have this? What if we would have that? I recently heard a peshat on a pasuk in Kohelet. The wisest of all men, King Shlomo, he said, Et laledet, there is a time to be born, ve'et lamut, there's a time to die. And then he says, there's a time to laugh and there's a time to cry. And I heard a peshat from Rabbi Falk. He asked, what is the great chokhmah of this statement? There's a time to be born. There's a time to be born. There's a time to... What is it? The time to be born? When someone is born, you look at the clock and you see what time it is. They were born at this time. Is he trying to tell us that there are clocks in the world? What is the chidush of King Shlomo? And he said a peshat based on the following story. There was a couple, they got married, and they didn't have any children. And 1 year passed, 2 years passed, 3 years passed, nothing. And they started going to doctors, and they went to, they were praying, they were making hishtadlut, and nothing was working. 6 years, 7 years go by, there's no children. And the parents are getting depressed, and they're saying, what's going to be with our lives? No children. And after 10 years, they still didn't have any children. And one day they heard, Sadiq Baal Ha'ir, one of the Gedolei Hador, was passing through the country, and he was going to make a 2-day stopover in their city. And this Gadol Hador, this Sadiq, was known for his power of blessing. As it says, Sadiq Gozer Kayam. When a Sadiq says something, Hashem listens. So the woman told her husband, she said, my husband, go to the rabbi, he's practically at our doorstep, and get us a beracha for children. And the husband said, of course. And he went and he waited online for the rabbi. And the rabbi saw him and the rabbi said, I give you a beracha, in 1 year from today you will be holding your first child. And that's what happened. They had their first baby. And they were so excited, they were so happy. And the woman, playing with the child, holding the child, she told her husband, she said, my husband, what is wrong with us? We knew about this Sadiq before we got married. We knew about this Sadiq. Why didn't we go to him 10 years ago? Why didn't we go right away? We could have had a 9-year-old by now. We could have had a family filled with, a house filled with children. Our lives could have been so different. Why didn't we go to the Sadiq? And her husband tells her, my dear wife, you have the whole story backwards. You think because the Sadiq came now, that's why we were blessed with children? Now was the Et Leda. Now was the time that Hashem looked upon us and said, it's time to have children. And when the time came to have children, Hashem brought the Gadol Ador to our doorstep. And He practically brought him right to us. It was a little difficult. We needed zichuyot, so we needed a boost. Hashem brought the Sadiq Ador to give us a beracha. But it's, we didn't think about this 10 years ago because then wasn't the time of birth. That wasn't the time for us. It wouldn't have been good to have children then. And that's why Hashem didn't let us think about it. And the same goes true, the same is true when it comes to an et lamut. When it comes, there's a time for mitah. And sometimes we get involved with cause and effect. Why? How did it happen? What was going on? And people start to think it was the circumstance that caused. What if this would have been? What if that would have been? And King Shlomo is telling us, there's no such thing. Came the et lamut, Hashem has 100 ways. There was a certain amount of years destined. This is our full emunah, there are no accidents. And it doesn't matter the cause. The cause is irrelevant. Our emunah is that Hashem runs the whole show. Hashem is the guiding hand throughout. The Midrash says this explicitly by Yosef HaSadiq. Vayhi mikech shenatayim yamim, and it was after 2 years, Ufaro Holem, and Paro had a dream, and Yosef was taken out of jail. And everybody says, oh, it's good Paro had a dream, because if Paro didn't have that dream, Yosef would have still been in jail. But what does the Midrash say? The Midrash says, Ketz sam lahoshech. God says, the time has arrived that Yosef is to be saved. Ketz sam lahoshech. So how does it work? He made Paro have a dream. We have the cause and effect reversed. It doesn't matter if Paro would have had a dream, Paro wouldn't have had a dream. Hashem has 100 ways. In life, we're not allowed to look back at circumstances and say, what if this, what if that? Because it doesn't matter the cause. I read a story recently about there was a rabbi who used to go around trying to convince people to move to Israel. And that was his job in life. He went from town to town, city to city, convincing people to make aliyah. And he was in New York 1 year, and he had somebody there who was convinced. He says, Rabbi, I want to move to Israel. I have one problem. The problem is, I need parnasah. So the rabbi said, why don't you come with me? We'll try it out for a month. Maybe you'll find a business. He says, okay, Rabbi, I'm in. And they went to Israel, and they searched for a business for a whole month, and they couldn't find anything. And the guy tells the rabbi, he says, Rabbi, I tried. I really want to move, but it doesn't look like it's going to work. Maybe another time. So the rabbi said, you're right. You need parnasah. But let me just ask you one thing. You have a child here. You have a child who just graduated high school, 17-year-old boy. Why don't you let him stay in Israel and learn Torah for the year? The father says, well, I have him enrolled in a college. You know, he has a career. So the rabbi said, give him a year of Torah. Let him study for a year and then go to college. And the man said, you know what, Rabbi? You're right. I will let him stay in Israel. And they picked out a perfect yeshiva for the boy. And 6 months later was the time when all the bombing was going on in Israel. And this child, 6 months later, was taken in a bomb. And the rabbi was so embarrassed about what happened. The rabbi was afraid to look at this man ever again. And the rabbi said, I'm never going back to New York to face this man. And it was 2 years later, the rabbi was in Chicago making his pitch, and he saw this man there. And he said, oh no, the man is here. And the man comes over to the rabbi with a big smile, and he says, Rabbi, how are you? I miss you, Rabbi. We didn't see you last year. The rabbi was so embarrassed. The rabbi said, I don't know what to say. And the man tells the rabbi, Rabbi, I never got a chance to thank you. The rabbi says, what? What are you talking about? And the man says, Rabbi, I believe be'emunah shelema that the neshama that Hashem sent me was only supposed to be in Olam Hazeh for 17 and a half years. I have no questions. And if it wasn't for you, Rabbi, my son would have went to the next world after 6 months of college. But because of you, he spent six months steeped in Torah, and he was able, you brought my son to Olam Haba, Rabbi. And that's why I want to thank you. This is the emunah. That people had from just a few years ago. The difficulty in this world is only for us. The Nifteret, she's in the highest levels of Gan Eden. She's basking in the radiance of the Shekhinah. We know, Bikrovai Ekadesh, Hashem becomes glorified only through His holy ones, only through the best, the cream of the crop. The Pasuk says, Diminu Elohim Hasdecha Bekerev Hechalecha. The Pasuk says, literally, Hashem, we've hoped in your kindness. We have waited for your kindness. Bekerev Hechalecha. But I think it was the Arizal who says, you could read the Pasuk a little differently. He says, Diminu Elohim. Sometimes it appears to us as Elohim. It appears to us like Midat Adin. But really, Hasdecha. But really, it's all Chesed, Bekerev Hechalecha. When you look at it from Hashem's vantage point, We don't understand. There were some tzaddikim in this world who were able to understand. We read a few weeks ago when Moshe Rabbeinu told Hashem, he said, Lama hare'ota la'am hazeh? Hashem, why did you do bad to this nation? Lama zeh shelachtani? Why did you send me? Which seemingly it sounds like Moshe was questioning God. But the Imre Emet says, that's not the explanation. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Hashem, Lama hare'ota la'am hazeh? Hashem, I know that every single extra brick that the Jews have to make now, and every single bit of suffering that they're going through, is for their good. I see it clearly. So why? Lama zeh shelachtani? Why did you send me to take them out? I can't pray for them to leave. Because to me it's so clear how good it is. Why didn't you send somebody else who doesn't see how clear it is? They're in pain now, but I can't pray because I see how good it is for them. The Sefer Binat Moshe, he brings a story about his rabbi, Rabbi Elimelech. There was a decree on their town, a terrible decree. And the rabbi was praying and praying and praying that Hashem should annul the decree. And the rabbi said that he had a dream. And in his dream came his rabbi, Rabbi Dov Ber from Revna. And he appeared to him and he said, I told you, you should have prayed for me to stay alive, because so long as I was alive, the decree couldn't hit this town. But once I'm gone now, the decree could come in. So the rabbi told his Rabbi, Sadiqim are greater after their death than when they're alive. Why can't you pray now for the decree to be annulled? So the rabbi told him, now that I'm up here, I see how good this decree is for you. I can't pray for it to leave. I see how beautiful it is. It's the best decree. You can't imagine how good it is. Why would I pray for it to go away? These are people who have, these are above our level, of course. These are people who are in the Olam HaEmet, who see clear. Us in this world, we are in Hoshech, we are in darkness. We don't see clear. The only thing we could do is we could accept And we could say, Hashem is righteous. We don't know. Hashem knows. It's the greatest praise that we could give Hashem. The greatest praise that God gets in this world is when things happen and people don't doubt Him. People don't question Him. Rather, they praise Him. We read in the Kaddish. The Kaddish, it says, Shemeh dekucha berichu. The name of Hashem is blessed. Le'ela. Min kol berchata shirat from more than any praise that someone could sing to God, be'alma, in this world. Literally it means Hashem's name is so great. There's nothing we could say in this world that's going to capture how great Hashem is, how blessed He is. Nothing we could say. Whatever we say, God is greater. But perhaps we could say a little differently. Shemeh dekucha berichu. When does the name of Hashem become the most blessed? Le'ela. Le'ela means the most. When is it the most blessed? When people sing the praises of Hashem, be'alma, in this world where it's dark, in this world where we don't understand, in this world where we could ask questions. There's so many questions that could be asked. But instead of asking, we say, no, Hashem is righteous. We don't understand. Hashem knows. We constantly need chizuk in this area. Olam hazeh is an olam of choshech. We don't understand. We don't see the good. The greatest gift you could give somebody is to teach them the principles, the basic fundamentals of Judaism. Hashem runs the world. Hashem knows what He's doing. We have to relate this message to our children. We have to relate this message to our families. People have to know. They have to be equipped with the life skills of Emunah. You know, the Chatam Sofer.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry, Rabbi. My mother's saying there's a lot of people that don't understand that she wants Violet to explain in Arabic what you're saying. So after, she's going to do that.
Oh, okay.
Violet, you're going to be the translator. Okay.
The Chatam Sofer says on the Gemara, the Gemara says, Sadiq Viralo. Sometimes we see Sadiq and things bad happen to them. And the Gemara says, why does that happen? The Gemara says, because he's a Sadiq ben Rasha. He's a Sadiq, the son of a Rasha. And it says, Rasha v'tovlo. Sometimes you see a Rasha and good happens. That's because he's a Rasha ben Sadiq. So the Chatam Sofer says, I don't understand the whole Gemara. What does it mean, Sadiq v'ralo? If you are a Sadiq, nothing is bad to you. A person who's a real Sadiq, everything that happens in his life, he says, Hashem is good, Hashem is good, everything is good. So the Chatam Sofer says, that's the Gemara's question. Sadiq Viralo, the Gemara says, how could that be? How could you have a Sadiq and things are bad in his life? He says, you know what the answer is? Because he's Sadiq ben Rasha. He was never educated. He's a Sadiq, he follows Hashem, but he was never educated properly with the skills of Emunah. So he could have things that are ralo. He could have things that bother him. He could have things that appear to be bad. But on the other hand, you could have a Rasha who's Tovlo, who everything for him is good. You know why? Because he's Rasha ben Sadiq. He was educated properly. He was educated with the fundamentals of Emunah, with the fundamentals of Bitachon. And everything to him, he could be a Rasha, but everything that comes his way is good. There is no bad. Everything is good. When things don't go our way, when things don't go the way we like them to go to, we're allowed to make a Hishtadlut. We're allowed to ask Hashem to change it. We're allowed to pray. We're supposed to pray. But once it's over, once something has happened, then the only thing left for us is to accept with Emunah. There's no, we're not allowed to regret. we're not allowed to second guess. There was a story of a rabbi, Rabbi Menachem Lemberger. He was the Av Bet Din in Yerushalayim, who passed away about 2 years ago. And he died of tremendous yesurin. And one of his friends, another rabbi, came to visit him. And he saw him in the hospital, in the end, in his last year, he saw him in the hospital. And he overheard behind the curtain the doctors telling him, "We have to amputate your leg. That's the only way for you to continue your life now." And the rabbi started arguing with the doctors. He says, "Doctors, there's got to be another way. Please don't take my leg." And he was pleading with them and he was crying to them. He said, "It's the only thing we could do." And he said, "There has to be another way. Go back and check it out." And the doctors had another meeting amongst themselves. And this guy behind the curtain was listening. And he said he felt so bad for him. His friend is crying like this. And he walked in. He wanted to give his friend some compassion. And the rabbi saw him. He says, "Here, ask my friend here, the rabbi. He knows. Let the doctors ask you, did I have to amputate my leg? Doctors, tell him about the story." The doctors told him the whole story. And he said, "Yes, that's the only thing they need to do. They have to take off your leg now." And the family was in the hallway crying. And he said, "Okay, please call in my family." And they called in the family. And he says to his family the following words. He says, "We asked for mercy. We shed tears. We prayed. We did our hishtadlut. We did everything we could. And now this is what Hashem wants. From this moment on, no one is allowed to cry. No one is allowed to feel bad. I accept what Hashem wants with ahava. And I will go into the surgery with a full simcha. And I don't want anybody to have any second guessing. We accept Ratzon Hashem be'ahava." This is what he told his family. A response like this pierces the heavens. One of the great Hasidic rabbis says, if someone is able to accept a deen of Hashem like this with love, their neshama gets an elevation as if they fasted for 300 years. This is the spiritual elevation of not questioning, not asking, accepting, saying that God knows, I don't know. The great Rabbi Akiva Eiger, one of the greatest Torah giants in history, he learned, he produced tremendous sefarim. He spent his whole life in Torah. And before he passed away, he told his students, "The only thing I want on my tombstone is to write, Sabal Yesurin Kol Yamav. My only ticket to Olam Haba is that I suffered in this world and I didn't ask any questions. I accepted my suffering." That he held was greater than all of his... And we're not talking about a minor Talmid Chacham. He was one of the greatest of all time. This is what he holds is his ticket. This is what he holds the greatest accomplishment of a human being could be. To finish off, to people who don't have emunah, there will never be an answer. There are no answers. But to people with emunah, there are no questions. Vayidom Aharon, they are quiet, they accept. Our job is to give sympathy, our job, but we have to know, we have to have this lesson. And as I said before, that the way that this family has responded, it's a chizuk to the rest of the world to see how they accepted God's deen and they accepted be'ahava. And I'm sure that itself, that zechut itself, elevated the neshama a billion times more, and it's basking right now in the radiance of the Shekhinah because of their tremendous emunah. Hashem Hashem should give them the ability to move on, the compassion, the rahmanut that they need. And Hashem should bless them with kol tuv vatov. And they should only see simachot. And we should be always together in happy occasions. Amen.
Amen.